We are going to wrap up today our series, It's Personal. But before we do that, I want you to pull out this little card that was in your bulletin. Would you do that for me? Pull out this little postcard that was in your bulletin. We, next week, are going to launch a new worship series that's called Now is the Time. Now is the Time. And here's what I know about your life, because it's true about my life. I have places in my life where I need God to say, now is the time, Hans, I'm going to do something new in you. Now is the time, I'm going to do something new. There are places in our lives where we feel stuck. Maybe there are relationships that aren't what we wanted them to be. Maybe there are situations in our lives where there's tension, there's stress. I think we all have spaces in our lives where we wish God would say, now is the time, and God would do something new. And what's great about that is that in the Bible, again and again, God does just that. God, for example, said to Noah, Noah, now is the time, I want you to build this big old boat. And Noah did. And through that, God did something new with God's people. To Moses, God says, now is the time, lead my people out of slavery. And through Moses, God did something totally new. And God even looked at God's self, at God's own self at one point, and said, I need to do something new in me. I don't want to be known as a God that's far off. I want to be known as a God who's intimate with my people. And so now is the time, and God did something new. God came down in Jesus to be among us. So here's what I know, that God wants to say to you and to me, now is the time, I want to do something new in you. And every one of us knows somebody who's going through something in their life where they need to hear that message, that now is the time for God to do something new in them. And so what we'd like you to do is we invite you to take this postcard and maybe give it to them or mail it to them. Invite them to be a part of this worship series as we talk about how we have a God who's always doing something new. A God who's always saying, now is the time, and doing something new in us. Well, today we're going to wrap up this worship series, It's Personal. And we've been talking about, again, how this faith Jesus brought into this world is never meant to exist just on Sunday morning or in the world of the Bible. It was meant to be personal. And so we've talked about many different ways over this summer that faith was meant to be personal. But we're going to talk one more time about that. We're going to talk about how every one of us has this need inside of us. And I don't think it's a bad thing, but all of us have a desire to be noticed. And to get into this, I'm going to do something here. There's a little activity that my boys do sometimes when they're with their buddies. Maybe a soccer game has ended, and we go to the concession stand, we buy them some Gatorade in bottles like this, and they quickly chug half of the bottle, and then they get together with their buddies, and they do this. Look at that. How about that? Huh? What is this called? Does anyone know what this is called? No. Awesome. It's called bottle flipping. Isn't that an ingenious name? Right? And all my sons and all their buddies get together and they do this. They flip the bottles and it drives me nuts. I don't know why. And I say to my boys, why do you do this? They say, well, it's just fun. I say, well, is it a game? And they say, no, it's not a game. I said, do you keep points? Do you score? No, Dad, it's just for fun. And I'll say to them, is there a point to it? And they say, Dad, there's no point to it. But as I've watched my sons and their friends, I think there actually is a point to this bottle flipping business. Because as they gather around in circles and they're flipping these bottles, when someone lands one, like I actually did, I have never done that before, by the way, people. When somebody actually lands one, what happens? You all did it. You all went, woohoo, right? And you know what I noticed in my sons when they landed one? They'd get a little taller. You see, here's what I think. I think the point of bottle flipping is to get noticed. Because if there's something I know about my boys and their friends, they want to get noticed. They want to get noticed. You see, I think our boys, these kids, they want to get noticed. I've got my phone up here, I believe. Here. There's another thing that's become really popular, and maybe you know what this is called. If you have a phone, maybe you've done this before. What do you call this when you do this? Right, a selfie. Do you know that the average young adult today in their lifetime will take 26,000 selfies of themselves? Huh? Every day, 1,000, or every minute, 1,000 selfies get uploaded to this thing called Instagram. And here's my favorite statistic about selfies. Last year, more people died while taking selfies than died by shark attack. It's true. It's true. I found it on Google, right? Right? Well, what's the thing about all these selfies? We got to take these selfies and we take four or five of them just to get the perfect picture that we can put out there. Why? Well, here's what I believe. We all want to get noticed. We all want to get noticed. When we go purchase clothes, we don't buy clothes for functionality like back with the turn of the century they did. We buy clothes so we what? Get noticed. Or think about it. I go to a lot of weddings in my job. And here's what I know about weddings. The average wedding today costs $30,000. That is not about a lifelong commitment to one another. That $30,000 is about wanting to get noticed. Think about graduation parties. Has anyone ever hosted a graduation party at your house? Have you ever done this? I mean, you know what happens before a graduation party. Dad's out there manicuring the lawn for months ahead of time. So when people show up, it looks like the 18th hole at Pebble Beach. They clean their garage so you could eat off the floor in the garage. Mom has all the flooring redone, the walls painted. Why do we do this? It's not about graduation. It's that we all want to get noticed. It's the reality. That's why we want nicer cars. We want bigger houses. We want that really cool boat. Why? Because we all want to get noticed. Now, here's what I know. Some of you are sitting there and going, well, that's fine. Maybe that's your generation, Pastor. But I grew up in the Midwest, and things were different back in my day. You see, we were taught to be humble. I got to tell you, I grew up in that same kind of household. I mean, I grew up in a house where we were taught when you go to Target, you open the door, and then you let all the strangers go in before you go in. Right? I was also taught that when you're walking down the sidewalk, you just say hi to everybody. You don't even have to know them. You're driving down a country road and you pass someone, you always wave, right? If you're at a party and there's one piece of pizza or one dessert left, do you take that piece of pizza or dessert? No, we'd never do that. If you grew up in the Midwest, you also feel guilty eating that piece of pizza, even if everybody's left already and the party's over. Right? We grew up with a sense that we got to be humble. My mom had three sisters. There were four sisters in the family altogether. And it was almost comical when we'd have family dinners. We'd gather together and everybody would sit down except for the four sisters. And they'd be constantly, almost in a competition to be the most humble sister. One would grab beverages and make sure you had beverages during the meal. Another would have the thing of mashed potatoes, and the minute you took a bite, they put another plop down on your plate. The other had the meat. The other had desserts. They were constantly running around the table until finally we'd say, ladies, just sit down, would you? You see, in the Midwest, we grew up with this sense of humbleness and kindness. Oh, we don't want to be noticed. But I wonder if that humility is just simply another way that we hope to get noticed. We want to be known. You see, I think we all want to get noticed. In fact, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the pyramid, maybe you studied in high school, right above having food and shelter is the need for belonging that's deep within all of us. We all want to be noticed. But here's the issue that we all face. We live in a really big world. There are 7.7 billion people on this planet. And because of that, we feel small. We feel sometimes like we're insignificant. In fact, people who do marketing and advertising, they know that we feel small at times, and they capitalize on that. For example, every time I see a commercial for a new pickup for that new SUV, for a BMW, for whatever car it might be, I feel a little smaller, I admit. I feel like my 13-year-old Honda Pilot with 200,000 miles on it isn't enough. Then I feel a little bit smaller. And marketing, advertising, they know this. I mean, marketing and advertising reminds us that we've got those wrinkles, that we're balding, that we're maybe a little too big around the belly, and they've got the product to fix it all, but they remind us what we're not, that we're not enough, and we feel a little bit smaller. Oh, your lawn looks great, but it could be so much better with that zero-turn Toro lawnmower. Yeah, you might catch a few fish with that boat you have, but the fish will just jump in the boat if you have that Lund Pro V, right? You see, here's the thing. We all feel a little small in this big, bad world of ours. Well, there's a guy in the Bible who, if you've been around the church, you know was a little small man, a wee little man. His name was Zacchaeus. And it's an interesting story because I think we have a lot in common with Zacchaeus, to be honest. You see, the story goes that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And he was on, this was the most important trip Jesus had ever taken because he was going to Jerusalem and it was there he was going to encounter the cross. He was going to die. And we say as people of faith that what Jesus did on the cross saved all of us. It was for the salvation of the world. It was the most important trip Jesus had ever been on. But for some reason, as he's going through Jericho, he has this encounter with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, we know he's a little guy, and so he climbs up in this tree, and he climbs up in the tree in order to try and see Jesus. But I want you to listen carefully to the story, because rather than Zacchaeus seeing Jesus, something else happens. The story goes like this. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Chief tax collectors were almost on the scale of criminals back in that day. People hated tax collectors. They were minions of the empire who came and collected taxes for the emperor, but they pocketed extra for themselves. It says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. He went up the tree so that he could see Jesus. But the story talks about something else happening. When Jesus reached the spot, what happened? He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You see, the story says that Zacchaeus went up the tree to see Jesus. That was the whole purpose of him going up the tree. But instead, something else happens. Jesus sees Zacchaeus. The story is really not about Zacchaeus seeing Jesus. It's about Jesus seeing Zacchaeus. And this is a really big deal because for a minute, put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes. Imagine what life was like for Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus was not only short in stature, I imagine he was also short in relationships. Nobody liked Zacchaeus. He was this minion of the empire. He was everything that represented what was their enemy. And not to get political, but if that had been the Republican National Convention, do you know who Zacchaeus' character would have been? Nancy Pelosi. If it would have been gathered at the Democratic National Convention, do you know who Zacchaeus would have been? Yeah, you can say it. Trump, right? Huh? They hated that guy. But you know what? It's his house that Jesus chose to go to. And this is why Jesus doesn't let the crowd determine his love. Jesus never lets the crowd and what the world says determine his love for anybody. In fact, when Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, Jesus knew there was another version of Zacchaeus inside him. That there was this kind, compassionate, generous version inside him. Well, I brought a prop today. It's a ladder, yes, but we're going to pretend it's a tree, okay? And Zacchaeus climbed up. I'm going to totally fall. Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree, right? And here's, I'm really way up here. This is really high. Don't we all climb trees now and then in our own lives? Because we, like Zacchaeus, want somebody to notice us. Don't we do that? I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but we do that. I mean, I think of my son flipping bottles. Why do they do that? Because they want to get noticed. Why do we take all the selfies that we do in this crazy world of ours? Because we want to get noticed. Why do we want that bigger car, that bigger house, that badder boat? Well, because we want to get noticed. I think that's a part of all of us. We all want to be noticed. And here's the thing, just like Zacchaeus felt really small, Jesus made it absolutely clear that Jesus saw him. He went to his house, and here's what I think Jesus wants you to know today, that Jesus sees you too. Jesus sees you too. And Jesus wants you to know that you are so much more than what the crowd says you are. You're so much more than what this world would make you out to be. You see, here's the interesting thing. Jesus just goes to Zacchaeus' house. And I think similarly, Jesus wants to be a part of your life and your home. And I think if Jesus were coming to our house, we might make all kinds of excuses. Oh, my car's too old, Jesus. You can't ride in my car. Oh, there's a load of laundry sitting on the couch. There are dishes in the sink. My house is too old. It's not clean enough. I think Jesus would want you to know that he doesn't care. See, Jesus wants to come and be a part of your life. Jesus wants to be personal with you. You see, here's the other thing. This world may make you feel small, but you're so much more to God. As I close today, there's one more thing I think is interesting about this story. You know, as a pastor, people often come to me and say, Jesus, they do not call me Jesus, that's for sure. That is for sure. They say, Hans, I want to find God. I want to find Jesus. I want to find a faith. And I always think that's kind of an interesting thing because this story seems to remind us or to point out to us that for Zacchaeus, the point isn't Zacchaeus seeing Jesus, somehow getting a glimpse of Jesus and knowing who Jesus is. The point of the story is that Jesus sees Zacchaeus. And I wonder if that's the point of faith when it comes down to it, that we have a God who sees us. If there's nothing else you remember today, I hope you walk home or drive home or however you get home knowing this, that God sees you. God sees you in whatever you're going through today. God sees you and always will. Let me offer up a prayer for you today. Gracious God, you know that in this big bad world of ours, we all want to get noticed. We all want to know that somebody knows us, but we too often were made to feel small. And so God, remind us that you see us. That just like Zacchaeus who was up in that tree wanting to be noticed, God, you see us. You see what we go through. But you don't just see us, you see the real version of us, the version of us that the crowd maybe never sees. God, we give thanks for that. And we pray this in your name. And all God's people said,
Amen.